I'm going to talk about Pentecost this morning, but it's not, you know, it's not going to be too heavy, I don't think. I'm mostly going to talk to you about our need for the power of God and the Holy Spirit in our life in order to love. And it's just such an important subject, and I'm going to go into a little detail on it. And hopefully, I mean, I need this every once in a while. I need to hear this sermon quite often. So I think everybody else does too. You're kind of narrow-minded. But the text we're going to use, I'm just going to read that. It's in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 is what I'm going to read. This chapter's, you should read it. It's just great. It's the birthday of the church. I don't know why we don't celebrate it more often. It is literally the birthday of the church. And day of Pentecost was, 50 days after Jesus' ascension into heaven. Anyway, the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came and rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And if you go on and read that scripture, there were people in Jerusalem from all over the known world at that time, speaking all different kinds of languages, and everybody in Jerusalem, no matter what language they were speaking, heard the gospel in their language. That was a miracle. 120 people in the upper room became preachers. We don't have quite that many people here, but, you know, turn you all into preachers. so far, Jim and I are the ones, I guess. Anyway, it's fine. But I was just going to say, it was such an important, it's the birthday of the church, such an important day. Let's have a word of prayer as we start this thing. Father, we just thank you for the power and of the Holy Spirit of God, for the fact that you you lived among us, Lord. You died for us. You sacrificed your son. Jesus, you sacrificed yourself so that we can be saved. And anyone that believes in your name can be saved from their sins and be a part of your kingdom. We thank you so much, Lord, that you didn't leave us comfortless. You didn't leave us alone. You sent your Holy Spirit on the proper day, the day of Pentecost, to fill the hearts and the lives of every person that believed in you. And from that day on, your Holy Spirit has been available to every one of us. And you're the one that empowers us to love. You're the one that empowers us to do your work in this present world. We are human, we are frail, we fail, but you, Lord, are greater than all of this. And you use us, in spite of ourselves, you use us to do your work in this world. And I just give you praise, and I pray, God, as we look at this word, that you will teach us in our hearts and our lives. So the fact is, in our humanity, we cannot have godly love. We can only have human love. And yet we're required as Christians to walk as Jesus did. There's one other scripture I want to bring up right here. And First John chapter 2, verse 3. This is really important. First John chapter 1, verse 3. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar. I'm not calling you a liar, John is. And the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. And this is how we know that we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. I don't know if you ever watched The Chosen. How many people have seen The Chosen? It's just, God, good for you. You know, you see the portrayal of Jesus. You see the way Jesus lived his life in The Chosen. And you begin to realize pretty quickly, I'm not Jesus. I can't love the way he loves. Well, yeah, but, you know, that's debatable. Maybe I can. If we obey his commands, if we walk in him, God's love is made complete in us, and we can walk as Jesus did. It's very obvious we need help. We all need help. I need help. I can't do all this stuff on my own. I am still fully capable of making really dumb mistakes, like falling and, you know, doing this stuff to my knees. I got a little too smart after I got out of the hospital and didn't have the help I needed, and down I went, and yeah, paying the price. And Pentecost is so important to us because of the work of love that God does in our heart. And there's two kinds of love discussed here. And I'm not going to read the scripture in John 21, but I want to bring this up. Pastor preached a really good series right after Easter about the time between the ascension and his returning to earth, to life. And in that series, he brought up this thing about Peter. And Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And Jesus says, "Yeah." And Peter says, "Yes, I love you." And he says, "Feed your sheep." Well, there's some Greek here, and it's all Greek to me, but the godly love, the word for godly love is agape. And the word for our human love is phileo. Phileo is tender affection of the humankind. Agape is godly love, enables us to love the unlovely. You can't love everybody with phileo love. There's going to be people, probably right here in this congregation, that are going to rub you the wrong way. You're not going to have tender affection for them. But you can have God's love for them. That's the difference. So Jesus, the first time he asked Peter, he says, "Do ye agapo love me?" Peter answers, "Yes, I phileo love you. God, I godly love you. I humanly love you." He says the second time, "Do you agapo love me?" Peter answers, "Yes, I phileo love you." The third time Jesus uses the word Peter used, "Do you phileo love me? Do you have tender affection for me?" And Peter says, "You know, Lord, I do. I love you. Feed my sheep, feed my lambs." It's so important for us to understand that, because there's such a difference between our ability humanly to love. We try to conjure up love in our humanity, and we fail. And you're going to fail every time. But if you allow the Holy Spirit of God to infill you and empower you and be a part of your life, he will empower you with his love, a love that comes supernaturally into your life. The ability to love people that are unlovely. The fact is, you have never laid eyes on a person anywhere, television or anywhere else, that God doesn't love. You'll never see a person that God doesn't love. Now, I see people I don't love. I'm fully human. And there's nowhere in the gospel that the disciples say they agapo love Jesus. Jesus uses the word phileo three times in the book of John. I don't know about the other places, but he uses that three times, tender affection. And he did, in his humanity, have tender affection for his disciples. I mean, these guys were devoted to him. They followed him. They did what he asked them to do. They did the best they could as far as loving him. So kind of like the time, I'm stealing pastor's line here. There's a wife and a husband having discussion. And there you go. And the wife says to the husband, "If I were to die in Jerusalem and it cost $500 to bury me in Jerusalem, or it would cost $30,000 to bring me back, what would you do?" And the husband thinks about it a little bit and he says, "I'd definitely spend the $30,000 to bring you back." And his wife's like, "Oh, he really loves me. Huh. Tell me more. And he says, "Well, 2,000 years ago, there was a guy who died in Jerusalem. And 3 days later, he came back to life. I couldn't take the chance." I couldn't take the chance. On a day of Pentecost, the disciples learned more about Jesus in a matter of minutes than they learned in 3.5 years of following him. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit of God was poured out, first of all, in that 120 people in the upper room, and then everybody that believes in the name of Jesus has the availability of the Holy Spirit to fill their lives, the availability of the Holy Spirit to change their lives. the ability of the Holy Spirit to make them more like God, more like Jesus, and to be able to walk as Jesus walked, and to love the way Jesus loved. The thing is, we don't have to stay the way we are. God begins his work in us. This is personally my belief, that we don't even become Christians except that the Holy Spirit of God calls us, quickens our hearts, makes us aware of the fact that we need to know Jesus. So the Holy Spirit of God actually starts working in our lives before we're Christians. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit of God does begin to work in our life. He comes into our life. He begins to lead us and guide us and to direct our lives. The thing that we fail to do a lot of times is recognize our need for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, to recognize our need for the power of the Holy Spirit in our life every day. Pastor's really good about reminding us that we need to get those devotional books and read them. Spend some time with God in the morning. You do that and your day's going to go way better. You ever forget to do that? Let's be honest, I do. Okay, If you want to be honest, yeah, there's days I get up and I'm a little grumpy and Bonnie sits further away and you know, it's like, you know, it just doesn't go as well. It just doesn't go as well. And then for me, it's like missing Sunday services. Of course, you know, as a pastor for 50 years, and I was pretty much required to be there every Sunday, which was a good thing. There was a lot of times I thought, man, if God hadn't called me to be a preacher, God hadn't called me to be a minister, I don't know where I'd be, because, you know, I've been able to study the Word of God as part of my job, preach the Word of God, allow God to work in my life, and to change me and make me into a better person. You know, the thing is, we don't have to stay where we are. We can continue to grow in grace. I'm 79 years old. Shocker. I only look 78. But in my case, apparently, I'm not going to be perfect until I die. That's the other scripture I want to bring up here this morning, because it's really important. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 through 57. Just really good stuff here. I always bring you the good stuff. The Apostle Paul here is talking about resurrection, the resurrected body and everything. And he says, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to be perfect someday. Those of you who think you're perfect now, I'm going like, drawn breath, he ain't perfect. You're going to be perfect someday, though, if you keep following God. If you keep living for Jesus, you're going to die, and God's going to change you, and you're going to take on immortality. And all the stuff of this world, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? That's all going to be gone. We don't have to fight with sin. We don't have to fight with anything that's wrong anymore. The Holy Spirit of God will, in that moment, in a miracle, just like the miracle of Pentecost, just like the miracle of God saving us, just like the miracle of the Holy Spirit coming into our lives, in that moment there will be a miracle that takes place, and we will take on immortality. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not all the, nor am I all that I'm going to be. I don't know who the first one was that said that quote. I've heard it so many times, I wouldn't be able to tell you. But I just know it's been quoted a lot of times. I'm not what I used to be. And I'm not all that I'm going to be. So it's impossible for us to love with godly love without the power, without the infilling of the Holy Spirit of God. We need the Spirit of God to fill us, and we need to, on a daily basis, invite Jesus to come into our hearts. We need to invite him to fill us. We need to invite him to listen. And we need to start listening to him. On the day of Pentecost, the people in the upper room were filled with the Holy Spirit. There was a fire, and what it looked like fire, rested on their heads. There was a rushing wind. And the rushing wind, everybody in Jerusalem heard it. That was the Holy Spirit of God rushing into this world to fill his people. We definitely need the fire of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and our lives. Fire burns out the dross. Fire burns out the bad stuff. So we need the fire of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And he's more than willing to produce that. I had a bad experience one time in Oklahoma. Don't have time for many long stories. I went down there. I had been pastoring for 5 years. I went down to get further education at Oklahoma Wesleyan. And this guy, I found a house to rent, $150 a month. And seemed like a good price at the time. It was a good price at the time. And three-bedroom ranch with a garage. And the guy says, yeah, you can have it for 2 years. Well, we got there. Somebody had overhauled a motorcycle on the white carpet in the living room. And there were all kinds of things wrong with the house. Before we could unload our stuff, we went and rented a carpet scrubber, and we got everything as clean as possible. And we never went in the garage because there were fleas in there. None for the flea market, but fleas in there. About 2 weeks after we moved in, he says, I sold the house. You got to move out. We went to prayer meeting at the church that night, and we were kind of devastated, like, what are we going to do? And, you know, God's always got a plan. He's always got a purpose. This lady walks up to us, and you guys need a house to rent? Yes. She says, well, I've got one. A minister owns it. And he said if I rent it out to a ministerial student, three-bedroom ranch with a garage, and actually clean, you can have it for $125 a month. And it was closer to everything. And I was like, well, you talk about God taking care of us. Well, this woman of the husband came, and she thought we'd done something to the drapes, and she didn't think the carpets were clean enough, and she came grumping to our house grumping. And the thing that they had told me was that they were members of the Fire Baptized Holiness Church. I thought I should be really impressed. And she looked like it. And she tore into us about all the terrible situation we were in. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. Are fire-baptized holiness people allowed to lie and cheat and steal? No. And I said, well, your husband promised us we could stay there. He promised us it would be clean. We had to clean it before we moved in. We didn't do anything to your drapes, although we thought we should do something. And then he moved us out. So he lied. And that's a representative of your fire-baptized holiness. No, out the door she went. And I'm like, don't think I'm going to go to that church. We need to be open to invite the Holy Spirit of God to control our lives, to walk daily, daily devotions, daily prayer. And as Brother Andrew said, practice his presence. As you go through your day, take time to thank God, take time to talk to God, and when you're confronted with situations in your day, bow your head and talk to God about it. Allow his Holy Spirit to work in your life. Growth in grace is so important. We need to make it an absolute priority in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the wonderful provisions that you have given us through the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you'll help each of us to avail ourselves of the opportunities that we have as your children. Help us, Lord, to follow you every day. We give you praise in the name of Jesus. Amen.